In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Our text for today is the Gospel reading, which I've already read. Please be seated. Today, both our Old Testament and Gospel readings speak to us about going to a banquet. In the reading from Proverbs, we heard Lady Wisdom, who was preparing a feast of the finest food and drink. After she had set her table, she calls out to all who would hear her, "Whoever is simple, let him turn and hear. To him who lacks sense," she says, "come, eat of my bread and drink of the wine I have mixed. Leave your simple ways and live, and walk in the way of insight." The feast that she has prepared is not just a feast for the body, but it is also a feast for eternal life. This is a feast of wisdom. While the food that is prepared for us downstairs for after service is certainly something that will satisfy our appetites, at least until this evening when we have to start all over again, it won't do much more than that. In another place, Jesus speaks of the bread from heaven that gives life to the world. He says of that bread, "I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me shall not hunger, and whoever believes in me shall not thirst." Now, this is in contrast to what Jesus had just done for the crowds to whom he spoke the day before. He had multiplied 5 loaves and 2 fish to feed a crowd of 5,000 men, plus the women and children who were present and not included in that number given to us by the gospel writer. The point is, the scriptures often use food as an illustration of one of its most central truth claims. Food is something that we most certainly need. Our Lord Christ does not deny that fact. In fact, it is he that taught us to pray, "Give us this day our daily bread," speaking of that daily need that we need, that we have to eat. As much as we need daily bread to support this body and life, there is a greater, more spiritual food that is necessary for this side of heaven and beyond. To put it briefly in the words of Christ Jesus, the bread of life that comes from heaven and the bread that gives wisdom, insight, and eternal life is the Word of God. As Christians, we ought to boldly and loudly proclaim this steadfast truth. The scriptures teach that faith comes by hearing and hearing through the Word of Christ. God promises that his word will accomplish that for which he sends it. As Bible-believing Christians, we hold these things to be most certainly true. We are like the man in the gospel who was reclining at table with Jesus, who said, "Blessed is everyone who will eat bread in the kingdom of God." Now, what happens next is rather interesting. There is a but. St. Luke, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, uses this word to set something against this man's pious statement. With this little word, Jesus wants to redirect what this man says and what we believe in order to sharpen our confession of the faith. And as he often does, he does this by way of a parable. You've heard that parable. Let's just briefly rehearse some of the facts. We heard about a man who gave a banquet. He invited many. This shows that God has a great desire for all to come to him. And then comes another but. But they all alike began to make excuses. The meal is made ready and the invitation is sent. "But I have bought a field. But I have bought 5 yoke of oxen. But I have married a wife." In the parable, the excuses begin to mount. These excuses show what the highest priority is in the lives of those who made them. The scriptures are written for our instruction. And this bit of instruction serves to illustrate how to determine what is truly important in our lives. On the one hand, anyone who calls himself a Christian would most certainly say that God's word is definitely the most important thing in his life. But on the other hand, actions do speak much louder than words. When two things come into conflict, whichever is more important is the thing that gets attention, is the thing that gets acted upon, no matter what you might say with your mouth. If you tell your wife that she is the most important person in your life and yet you never make any time for her, you are showing that your real priorities lie elsewhere. This is also true of God's word. Our Lord commands us to gather together to hear the preaching of his word in the third commandment. He says, remember the Sabbath day by keeping it holy. And this means that we should fear and love God so that we do not despise preaching in his word, but hold it sacred and gladly hear and learn it. In Hebrews 10, the apostle writes, let us consider how to stir up one another to love and good works, not neglecting to meet together, as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day drawing near. No matter what we say with our words, when we let anything get in the way of hearing God's word, we are confessing loudly to all those who are around us exactly what our true priorities are. And this way of living is, to put it bluntly, hypocritical. To say one thing and to do another is the textbook definition of that word. And neither the world nor Jesus have a very high view of hypocrites. But this kind of hypocrisy in particular is also dangerous, especially when our children are involved. Do you remember that old song, Cats in the Cradle? That song, by the way, it changes meaning when you have kids. But in that song, the father spent his whole time at work always telling his son that he would get together and that they would have a good time when he got home from work. Well, that never materialized. And when the son grew up, the dad was left asking when the son would come home. Because the dad never taught the son that he was a priority, in turn, the son never made time for his father when he got older. We teach our children what is important by our actions. When those invited to the feast make their excuses, they show where their priorities were. God, in his mercy, has invited us all to join the banquet of his Son, our Lord Jesus Christ. When we let anything stand in the way of taking up that invitation, we take on the role of those making excuses for not coming to the banquet. When we make the choice to do things on Sunday morning that conflict with hearing the word of God, we are showing everyone around us, including our children, what our true priorities are. So not only are we telling our Lord to excuse us from receiving the gifts that he gives in his word, but we are also showing our children that there are things more important than the Lord's word. And for this, we all must repent. Our Lord lays out a warning for us because he desires that we be saved. His banquet hall will be filled, even if we refuse, just as the master of the feast sent out his men to bring in others who were not initially invited. Now, historically, this was a warning for the Jews in Christ's day who did not believe him. He was warning them if they would not receive Christ, neither would they be received into eternal life, and others would be brought in. This is fulfilled in the Jewish rejection of Jesus and the subsequent apostolic mission to the Gentiles, our ancestors, and down to us today. But dear brothers and sisters in Christ, this warning still stands for us today. Even as Christianity declines in the West, the church is exploding in the global south. There are more Lutherans, for instance, on the island of Madagascar, which is about the size of our state of Texas, than there are in all of the United States. Dear friends in Christ, today, Lady Wisdom beckons you to leave the ways of the world and to come to the feast. The feast is here, laid before you in His Word. Christ has prepared it for you by His death and resurrection. And the food that He gives is true food, and it is the food that gives life to the world. Whoever comes to Him for bread will hunger no more. He will be sustained in this life and be preserved for eternal life. This food is the Lord's Word, for we do not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God. Out of His great love for you, God has invited you to the feast of His holy word. In this place, God's word is proclaimed not just in the readings, but in the sermon, in the hymns that we sing, and in the liturgy that our fathers in the faith have handed down to us. It is by this word which God has called us out of darkness into His marvelous light. And it is by this word that He brings life and immortality to life. And it is by this word that God breathes new life into bones that have been long dead. Out of His great love for you, God, in the person of our Lord Jesus Christ, also puts that word into our mouths. In the sacrament of the altar, Jesus joins His word to the bread and wine. And in so doing, the one whom the Apostle St. John calls the Word made flesh gives His flesh and blood for food for the life of the world. This banquet of His holy body and blood, given under the bread and wine of the Lord's Supper, is a foretaste of the heavenly banquet. In Revelation, St. John calls this the marriage feast of the Lamb in His kingdom that shall have no end. When we come to the table that is here before us, Christ comes as both host and meal, extending the invitation to come to the banquet. Here in this place, heaven comes down to meet earth in order to lift earth up to heaven. And so let us today, in the presence of our Lord, lay aside all excuses that would hinder us from accepting this invitation. In Jesus' name. The peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds through faith in Christ Jesus our Lord.